keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C., and you're not.
And this is the show that keeps you up to date on what's happening in the world of social media and more.
Have you ever wondered about the secret ingredients to achieving top-notch audio quality in your live streams and presentations? Maybe you're curious about the expert strategies behind exceptional audio experiences. Or perhaps you're aiming to upgrade your audio skills to a professional level. If these questions resonate with you, then you are in for a treat today. Today, we're excited to welcome special guest Laura Davison from Shure, a master in the world of audio. Laura combines her musical prowess with technical know-how to enhance audio in live settings. She'll be sharing her background, offering valuable insights, and providing essential tips for audio mastery. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Laura, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
This is going to be awesome. I am so excited. I've been counting down the days to have you on the show. We met at Ecamm's Creator Camp. You had some really cool stuff to say, some really cool tech stuff, and we're going to share some of that stuff out today. And also joining me today is the amazing Katie Fox from Ecamm. Katie, how are you?
I'm great. It's as Laura said, it's Friday, and I'm just
I know. Let's go.
It's like the Katie show. She was on with Ian earlier talking about stuff. It's like it's Katie all day, all the channels.
You're everywhere, Katie.
I am a notorious overcommitter, so here I am. I'm saying yes to all the things. No, in a good way today, because it's all the fun stuff.
So. Yeah, it's fun to get on live with your friends. So let me introduce you to Laura Clapp, because if you don't know who she is, let me tell you. She heads up the retail marketing development team for Shure. Her passion and her knowledge of gear comes from over 20 years in the music industry, where she has been recognized for her achievements with She Rocks Award and Women of NAMM Leadership Summit Scholarship. When she isn't talking about music equipment, she is using it as a professional singer, songwriter, and podcaster. And you can learn more at lauraclapp.com and check out her podcast, Song 43, wherever you consume podcasts. Laura, once again, thanks for being on the show. And by the way, your podcast is amazing. And your Spotify channel, I went and listened to some of your music. It is really, really good. I had no idea.
Thank you. Thanks for checking it out. I appreciate
it. It was really good. Yeah. And I mean, your podcast, I loved it because I went back and listened to some of the haunting stuff that was happening at Creator Camp.
during Creator Camp.
Oh, yeah. So that was very interesting. So we've got some of our friends in the comments today. We've got Neil saying, sounds good, Jeff. Thank you. Yeah. I love my new microphone. So that's very, very cool. Chris Stone says, Jeff C has never sounded better. I don't know what you mean by that, Chris, but we'll take it. And Tacy says, happy Friday, all. This is always the best part of Friday. Tacy, you are the best part of Friday. Thank you so much for stopping by today. Dealcaster says, bonus points to Laura for colorware. Sure, Mike Green branding on point. Oh, I see. Right? Yeah. Well, once we go full screen. Yeah. So, and Katie's even got, let me pull up you full screen, Katie. You even got a nice MV7 color. Yeah. Look at
it
that.
It was so hard to choose. It took a very long time.
It's very cool. So we're going to be, and we have more people just popping in who are our family here. Tech Troublemaker says, thanks, Laura, for the great tips at camp. I've been working to improve my audio. Sure, MV7 here. So I've got mine, too. I've got mine set up and ready to go if we want to test it later. But this is the white special edition.
Oh, yeah, white one. Yes. Amazon exclusive.
Yes.
Nice job.
I don't think you can get it anymore. I don't think they're even available. So I feel special. So, and then we have, of course, our amazing Mr. Paul Duncan here in the house as well.
A moderator in the house.
And Anna, I think she had some hauntings that happened as well that I heard from the grapevine. So I'll have to get the whole scoop on all this stuff. But anyway, let's get on with the show because we have some great, I have some great questions. I want you guys to ask your questions of Laura in here, but let's talk about Laura, kind of like your background, because I want to talk about, you know, how you kind of your journey in the music industry and how that kind of, you know, went to audio equipment and your expertise in that.
Yeah. So I went to Berklee College of Music for school. And when I graduated, I moved to Nashville, where I lived for about 7 years. And I was working as a singer-songwriter. I was also working, you know, waiting tables and just trying to survive. And I started co-hosting this wonderful showcase called Chick Singer Night, which is the longest running showcase for women in the country. It's all over the country in different cities. And it's basically like a free showcase for you to play with a professional band in front of an audience, what you would normally wouldn't be able to do. Like if you're living in Nashville, it's hard to do that. Anyway, I was doing that. And the founder of that organization, Lori Meyer, her husband was the CEO of a company called TC Helicon and TC Electronic at the time. They wanted to have a female demonstrator at the NAMM show, which if you're not familiar, NAMM happens usually every January. It's getting back on that cycle now, finally post-pandemic, out in Anaheim. And it's the largest gathering of music equipment manufacturers in the world, basically. Like 100,000 people show up and we show off our new gear. We have booths and it's just like a big family reunion, kind of like Ecamm Fam times, you know, a lot. And so I started demonstrating there and I had about 2 weeks to learn this really wildly complicated piece of gear called the Voice Live, which would let you plug a microphone in and start singing and four voices of harmony would come out. And It was the coolest thing I'd ever heard. And I was like, this is like, I love this. I love this gear. And I loved demonstrating because I would be on a booth demonstrating 20 minutes on, 20 minutes off for 4 days, which was exhausting and exhilarating and incredible. And it just, it turned out I was pretty good at demonstrating gear and getting across these wildly complicated tech gear pieces to anybody. Mm-hmm. So I started doing that and then kind of worked my way up the chain in terms of getting into the marketing side. Worked for them for about 10 years, worked for a marketing agency for 2 years, and I've been with Shure for 6 years this month. So I do market development for them, which is essentially going out into the field, training people about our incredible products like this MV7, and just helping people find ways to make their creative lives and journeys easier, like hanging out at Creator Camp. That was one of the things I got to do as part of my job. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. And I'm a singer-songwriter cool. And a mom of two, you know?
Okay, but, yeah. And that's, you got a little bit on your plate.
You know.
A little bit, yeah.
That's it.
So Katie, you jump in here because, you know, we didn't get to talk much before the show because we were having tech stuff. So you just, because I will like hog all the time. So you have to like.
Jeff. Yes, Laura's exactly. My friend.
Yeah. Connor knows that
wow.
I did it. So I know. I'm just going to sit here quietly. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to steal all of Jeff's awesome questions that he planned in advance, but I actually really want to know this one as well. But Laura, how do your experiences as a performer help you understand audio needs for your live stream and presentations?
Oh, that's a fun one. Being a performer and being a presenter are actually very similar things. But the tech side of it is something that I think as vocalists, we get to be lazy about. And it's something that I'm desperately trying to change. And I'm super passionate about because most of the time, if you show up to a venue or a gig or what have you, and you're going to perform, you step up to the microphone, whatever's there, you do your sound check and you go. Whereas if you were the guitarist on said gig or the drummer, you would bring all of your own equipment that you know and have tested and tried at home and love and know makes you sound great, is easy to play and removes any barriers. We don't have that luxury as singers. We just kind of show up and use whatever. So I started getting passionate about gear in 2006 when I started demonstrating. And then that really has led to more of an awareness of how to choose gear based on just listening. Like I'm monitoring right now, which mm-hmm. I cannot say how important it is to do, to hear yourself talking, to know if I'm too far off the mic that I need to get closer, you know, things like mm-hmm. that. So I don't know if that answers the question, but it's basically as a performer, I'm comfortable with microphone technique and then that kind of led the segue into learning about the gear and how it actually all works, if that answers
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I want to jump back into that in the next section, but I wanted to talk one more thing. I'm going to jump down kind of to the end of this section because you mentioned before that, you know, you're a professional singer songwriter. You also work full time for sure. And you're also a mom of two. And I know a lot of us, especially the creatives, how do you balance those two roles? Like, you've got your professional hat on, for your, you know, for your artist stuff. And you've got a, I play the piano and do other stuff. And, you know, I love that too, but it's like, okay, how do I fit that in? Like, if I do this, then how am I going to create a course? Or like, I mean, and I think all of us and all of our audience watching has that struggle. So I'm really interested in how you balance those two things, your job at Shure and your like professional singing.
Well, I don't, Jeff. I don't do it very well at all. Case in point, last night I sang a gig in Fairfield, Connecticut, which is about 40, 45 minutes away from me, on a Thursday night from 8:30 to 11:30. 2 out of 5 stars do not recommend. Like, I'm dragging right. today, but like, that's, I have to feed that creative side of myself or I get very cranky. Mm-hmm. So what I've found is that having my podcast every week is the one thing I have not let myself skimp out on or drop. I've missed like, I want to say 4 episodes out of 72 consecutive or 73 weeks. So that's the thing. It's not necessarily me making music, which is what I would love to do with my free time. Mm-hmm. But I know that every Tuesday night I have my time to record, edit and publish my podcast, but it's a short podcast. It's like 10 to 15 minutes. That's the one thing I hold on to when I'm getting really kind of like, oh, I need to create more. I know that I have that to go to, because I could lie and say, oh, well, I schedule out my time so I have me time for right. to create. No, that does not happen, because you do that and inevitably you're taking your kid to the ER like we got to do last night, which was good times.
No.
She's fine. She's fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think what you just said about the consistency is super important, because like, even, I mean, you did it when you were traveling at the Creator Camp, because I heard that episode and you were sitting there recording in a haunted hotel. I mean, come on. Yes. That is commitment. Like, yeah. You know, so anyway.
Well, you've set yourself up for success with that too, which I think is also really important. Like, you've made your podcast, the format of it, work for you, understanding that you are constantly on the go and you're doing things with work and family and you have gigs on different nights. So it's, I think that's really important for everyone to hear as well, that it's not like everyone listening who's used to eCam shows, which are like always an hour and a half, like 3 hours long.
It's 3 hours.
Laura, nice. Right? Like, Laura, you've set this up where it's like, for you, it's audio only. You know, you have all of the gear. You understand how it works. You can bring it with you when you're in a hotel room, in a haunted hotel. So I think that's a huge win, is that upfront planning, which probably doesn't feel like a lot, but it makes a huge, huge difference in being able to actually do it consistently.
Yeah, it does. And I just made the shift to incorporate video into my podcast after going to Creator Camp. I mean, I've done it before. I think I have like 4 episodes on video, which I have 2 YouTube channels. I don't know how I did that to myself. So if anybody knows how to like merge them magically, please, we'll talk later. Anyway, so I started just sucking it up and using Descript. Because yes. Descript is flipping incredible. Okay.
Yeah. Magic.
But I think it'll be challenging when I am doing the things like when I'm in my hotel room in my PJs recording it. I don't know that anybody needs to see that. But I recorded it in my car. in the parking lot of Taekwondo. That was last week's episode.
You gotta put it out, yeah.
You got to put it out. And that one, I used this little guy right here, the MV88 Plus.
See, I got it right here ready to show too. We're going to talk about that.
It is just, it's so awesome. And this is the, I don't have my little tripod with it, but it has like a phone clamp here and a little Manfrotto Pixie tripod, which
I got it right.
Right here.
Ba-da.
I'm lying.
Oh no, you guys, mine's not here. It's
we could have all 3 done it. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, if I don't have this one with me, then I have this one, the MV7.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it folds up really nice. Yeah. Like this. You know, like it folds up.
Just throw it in your bag. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's we're going to get into all this because people are already nerding out in the comments, but you know, I was so excited that Laura was here and Katie was here that I forgot to say, hey, by the way, this show is sponsored by our friends over at Ecamm. And since Katie's here and she like is the main reason that I have the show, is there some special things coming up? Like, you know, cause you know, it's a holiday. Goodness. So I'll let you take the lead here.
It's absolutely the holiday season. So if you are sitting here and you're like, wait a second, I have never heard of this Ecamm thing. Ecamm helps you record your podcast, just like Jeff is doing right now. It also helps you live stream, record course videos, literally anything that you can think up in the world of video, Ecamm can help you do and do it easily and professionally. And yeah, if you're brand new, we have a Cyber Weekend sale that is going to start up a week from today, Black Friday, and run through that Cyber Weekend timeframe. And if you're an existing Ecamm fan member, like many of the people I see here in the chat, it's a great time to be an affiliate, you all. So right. Make sure that you get signed up as an Ecamm affiliate so that you can help us spread the word. It's just an awesome, exciting time. This is holiday season.
Yeah. And so, and if you want to like understand affiliate marketing better, she just did a great video with Ian about affiliate marketing. So go back to the Ecamm's channels, mm-hmm. YouTube, wherever, and watch that. Cause it's really, really good. Ian does a really great job with affiliate marketing. So, by the way, I wanted to also do a welcome cause we are now broadcasting everywhere over on Agora Pulse's channels. They asked to do that. So if you guys were watching over on Agora Pulse inside their groups and also on their page and their LinkedIn, thank you guys for watching. We appreciate you. Make sure you ask your questions. And by the way, we do have some great questions here. Tech Troublemaker says, kids, wait, aren't we supposed to price kids over live streaming podcasting? No, you're not. Get your priorities right. And then Jim Fuse says, or should I say, sure sounds good today.
Sure sounds good.
Jim, really?
It doesn't get old for me. I enjoy it. I'm here for it, Jim.
Bring on the shore puns.
That's right.
I don't even hear them anymore.
It's either Jim or Chris. It might. Who knows? Over on Dealcasters. I love that Laura went right into mic technique. So totally important for live streaming and podcasting. The Sure Creators YouTube channel is so helpful and not about their great mics. So before we get into mics, because, you know, everyone wants to talk about mics and stuff, but you had kind of alluded to something very, very, at the very beginning of the show, talking about monitoring, you know, and a lot of people, I like, since we're on video, not to have the big old Mickey Mouse ears when we're doing it. And I love, these are the Shure 215s, I think they are.
Nice.
So I really like, these are the pro ones. And actually on sale right now on Amazon, you're watching, by the way.
I was just going to say.
But most people can't even tell that I'm using them unless I really turn, you know, to the side. And so, Laura, you had some on as well. I really love these little monitoring. But let's talk about monitoring. So why monitor your podcast or whatever?
You have to monitor whether you're performing or whether you're podcasting or you're live streaming, because like I alluded to, microphones, I said this in my presentation, they're very cute and beautiful, but they're dumb. Like, they don't reach out and grab your sound. So, you know, you want to work with your mic, and you're not going to know if you're having plosives, which is that sound, which I can't even get mine to do. I love you, MD7. But it's when you have a pop of air that pops the diaphragm and it has that uncomfortable popping sound. Mm-hmm. You just turn off axis, and you'll notice it if you're monitoring. If you're hearing like, what are all those consonants that are popping in my ears? Just, you know, you'll adjust naturally. Or again, if you're too far away, dynamic microphones like this get really thin the further away you get, especially if they're in a cardioid pickup pattern. Cardioid being heart-shaped, meaning it's going to pick up what's right in front of it and not what's coming in from the back. You have to be up on it. And there's ways to fudge it. Like, I could be over here, but why? You know, like, I like to have that nice podcast voice.
That's right.
Anyway, that's why it's important. And you want to make sure you're hearing your guest, that you're not screaming louder than they are, or that they're not too quiet. Mm-hmm. Which is what's cool about MV7. I'm monitoring through my MV7 right now. So I'm plugged in directly to the back, so I can hear myself and I can hear you guys all through the mic.
Yeah. And so can you talk about the quality of the headphones and why not just to use, talk about why I'm leading you with the question, not to use Bluetooth headphones, like when you're doing, like
a
lot of people
one.
I see putting the, you know, the AirPods in and stuff like that. And if you've done it once and they break out, then I mean, you'll never do it again, but go ahead.
No, because the thing about Bluetooth is it has inherent latency. And so if you're trying to monitor with it, as opposed to just listening to music on your computer, there will be latency introduced, meaning you'll hear yourself behind when you're actually speaking, or your guests will be delayed. And that's just inherent to the technology. So that's why we recommend using wired earphones or headphones. We call these earphones. And we have a whole line, and we have some really amazing promos going on right now for the holiday season. So if you go, I'm going to put this in. Can I put stuff in the chat? I
don't. Yeah, but we're everywhere, so it might be hard to do.
Yeah. Well, if you go to shore.com/special-offers, then you'll see everything that's on sale. But the earphones and headphones are all on sale, pretty much. And what's great about ours is that they have these little sleeves on them that let you have something called sound isolation. So they're not noise canceling, but they essentially conform to your ear. So you squeeze the little sleeve down. And these are the Aonic 5s right now. Mine are super dirty right now, so we won't get to
luckily for the podcast, you can't see that stuff coming out of it.
You don't look at that. Yeah. So you squeeze it and then seat it in your ear and wrap it around, and then it gradually expands. So it's blocking out extraneous noise. So it's really great on flights. And it's not noise canceling. It's not introducing any sort of frequency cancellation there. It's just naturally working with acoustics and your ear. So that's why it's important to monitor
wired. The one thing I would, like this is going down my back, like if you can see it there. And so what I like to do is, because mine's plugged into my Rodecaster, is I have an extension. I just got an extension cheap cable from Amazon Basics that I plug it in. And so I have this, and I'm always rolling over it in my carpet. But being plugged in is super important. That's like a pro tip, like do that like right away if you're using AirPods, because it just works so much better.
Yeah, so until Bluetooth catches up and we don't have any latency. Use
Chris goes, audio nerds unite, monitoring plosives and proximity. Woohoo! So, yes.
Yes, proximity. That's another thing, too.
Yeah.
Proximity effect is when you get up on a dynamic microphone and you talk like this, it builds up low frequencies and you can hear my voice getting woofier as I talk. Right. So, that's why you want to keep that nice little like 2-3
space.
Fingers off your mic.
And this is from Kira, who's an awesome editor. And so all these editors are going, to preach it. And she goes, also monitoring during recording makes editing so much easier because you don't have to try to fix issues after the fact. Yes. Preach
so
it.
So much easier.
Katie, did you have a question? I do,
Jeff. Thanks for checking in with me. Laura, can you give us an overview of the latest advancements in microphone and headphone technology for live streaming?
Yeah, absolutely. So what Jeff is speaking into right now is the SM7DB, which is the latest and greatest microphone that we've made. Strangely enough, on a 50-year-old mic, we took the SM7B, which many of you are familiar with, which I usually have within arm's reach. Oh, here it is. And fantastic microphone, broadcast industry standard go-to mic. But one of the things that people don't always enjoy is that you need extra gain, or you need an interface that has enough gain or headroom to drive this mic, because it's just, that's how it was built. It has these beautiful humbucker coils built in, so it's going to block RF noise from different devices. When this was made in 73, cell phones weren't a thing, but there were other pieces of equipment that would cause a buzz. So that's why it has that humbucker coil in there, which is kind of fun. And it has these switches where you can adjust the frequency response, but you have to kind of get a tool to do that, like a pen or a pen, you know, something that'll get in there. It's very official. So we made the SM7DB, which is the exact same microphone. It has now a built-in booster and it is brilliant. So now you don't need to have the right interface. You know that no matter what you plug it into, and it is XLR, not USB, you can have that go directly into whatever you're using and engage the preamp, because it has an onboard preamp. And you could get plus 18 or plus 28 dB. So if you're not getting quite enough juice, you have a little more headroom. But if you decide you want to bypass it and go straight into SM7B mode, you can do that as well. And you know, I've seen online people saying, why would they do that? It's different and it's bigger and it's tapered and all these things. No, it's not. It's 1 centimeter bigger because it has to, you know, accommodate a preamp. It's black and it has a Shure logo here. That's black. I should have this in front of me, but it's in a Pelican case.
I have one right here. See?
Over like, look at there. Yeah, there you thank go. You, Jeff. So can you spot the logo, Katie?
I can, but I'm really looking for it.
Yeah.
So it's very hidden.
Yeah. So people are, you know, getting a little cranky about that. Yeah, we put the logo on there. It's advertising. It's ours. But, you know, it's not like my ignition green one here that's like, sure. Yeah. So, you know, that was the change. But it's a pleasant change because now Jeff doesn't have to add any other things to his setup. He can plug directly in and have enough gain to power his SM7B.
Yeah, and I love it for sure.
I love it. And so Rainy Cajun, which is a great name, by the way, he goes, Jeff, how far is the SM7DB from my mouth? I don't have a measuring thing here, but I'll go once again full screen, and you can see it's about this far, you know, from my mouth,
3 inches,
yeah, something like that. And so I'm still playing with it. Like, I don't know if I have it completely dialed in. I got it yesterday, like, because Laura is amazing, by the way. So, and I like the sound of it. And I didn't go all the way. I think I'm in is it 18 dB plus? 18. I think I have that one on. I didn't go all the way. I didn't think I needed to. So, anyway, I think it sounds pretty darn good. So
it sounds great.
I think so too.
So,
and then right before we launched the SM7DB, we launched the MVX2U, which I saw either Chris or Jim throw in the chat there. And that is this guy. Again, very subtle logo that I'm trying to get to show up. This is a single channel interface. So when you use this, and you can use this with a regular SM7B or your SM7DB, but it's a USB interface and it has that headphone out right there so that you can monitor, and this can plug directly into my SM7B like that. I have hair on it, and go in line directly on a boom arm, and so you can run there. There's also an extender you can use, or you can run a little short XLR cable to this if you want this kind of like on your desk, which is how I do it.
Right.
So it's a great setup. This is a single interface. You bring this, you're good to go. I like my MV7 and my 88 plus, so I haven't upgraded.
I have it here too, because I didn't know who was going to have one, but like that's what Katie's using. They're really great. And by the way, once again, go to jeffc.live. They're all there in the carousel. You can just pick them.
Good.
And there's also, you know, she talked about the interface. There is a kit with, I think, the SM7DB and that interface. You can buy them together. I believe I saw that on the Shure website. So if you don't have an interface and you need one, there you go. Great Christmas present for yourself. Treat yourself. That's what I'm saying.
Treat yourself. So that's right. I always say that. Everybody, I've talked with so many creators where they're just like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready to upgrade my setup, or, you know, and I wish Doc were here to just be like, you know, buy it once.
Do it.
You know, exactly. Because number one, it's not that expensive in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
I'm not saying that a $500 mic is inexpensive, but what I'm saying is, in the grand scheme of things, if you're ready to do this, or if you've been doing it for a minute, make the jump, or even go for an MV7. It's $249. It plugs in USB and XLR, so you have options for it to grow with you. And, you know, you're worth it. Otherwise, you're going to struggle with the tech. You're going to fight with the tech. You're going to be like, why don't I sound as good as insert favorite podcaster there? You know, like, just go for it. Just invest in it. That's how I always justify it. I'm like, what is this equivalent to, this gear equivalent to in meals? Because I really like to go out to eat. And so I'm like, is this like two steak dinners or like, you know, so.
Or McDonald's. Yeah. So
yeah.
Or
McDonald's. How many don't McDonald's? Buy McDonald's. Burgers.
Oh yeah. You'll be sick. The Dealcasters are saying, we usually tell people for distance between the mouth and mic is about the length of your fist and speak across it, not into the front of it. Totally nerding out right now. I know
Love
you
it.
Guys over at Dealcasters are. I wanted to ask this, and you guys let me know in the comments, or if you're watching the replay, you know, go ahead and leave them in as well. This is what I believe. I think you should, if you're on the upgrade path, you've been doing this for a while, you got some consistency, you know that you want to be a podcaster or a live streamer, the first thing you should upgrade is your audio. True or false?
Yeah.
What would you say? Katie, I'll start with you.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I mean, I would say that not even just for upgrading, that should be your, like, I want to start a podcast, start a live stream, get into video, be better with creating, you know, short videos. Audio first. Like, you can do a lot with decent lighting to make older cameras or your phone work for the video picture quality, but bad audio is that's forever in a real bad way.
That's right. So I know you're a little biased, Laura, but what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There have been studies that show it again and again. Like, people are going to bounce if the audio is subpar. Mm-hmm. And so things to take into consideration when we're talking about good audio, let's say you have a mic that you already own and you're not quite happy with the sound, you can still do things to make it sound better. Number one, you can get closer to the mic. The closer you get, the less of the room that's going to get into it, because again, they're beautiful, dumb creatures that only reach out and hear what's right in front of them. So by eliminating other things coming into the mic, you make it that much better. And then you can also treat your space by adding absorptive materials. So I don't even have to, though, in this space. I'm in this is painted drywall, angular walls. That's a window over there. I have a nice sound dampening shade. And light dampening, but I have hardwood floors and there's a giant window right over there. And all I'm doing is talking into my MV7. But if you have a particularly bouncy live room that you're hearing a lot of echo when you clap your hands, get close to the mic, use absorptive materials like area rugs, pillows, canvas. You can make your own canvases like we talked about at Creator Camp.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, and just treat the space.
So this, and Chris says, this is great. Bad audio is forever. He's stealing that. That's
Katie. It's all yours.
Bad audio is forever.
Yeah. I think what I've always heard that, like, you know, people will forgive bad video, but they won't forgive bad audio is what I've always heard.
If you can't hear someone, you're not.
Or like a windy.
You're not gonna stay. Yeah.
Right.
Totally agree. So, I want to do this because I know people are like, you know, okay, $500 mic or should I do the, how, for beginners, what are the key features they need to look for when choosing audio equipment for live streaming and presentations like we've been talking about?
Dynamic microphone, unless you're in a perfectly treated space. So dynamic, not condenser, good set of headphones. And if you're just starting, go with a USB mic because then you don't have any additional gear. That's why I love the MV7 though. Because it's USB or XLR, or you can use them at the same time, which is kind of cool. And so that way you can grow. If you decide to get an interface and you want XLR capabilities, you already have it built in. But that's really it. A dynamic microphone that's going to pick you up, block out more of the room, and a set of headphones and a computer that's required.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could do it on a phone, but...
The old tape machine.
The old tape machine, yes. Yes.
I still have some good tapes of me, like when I was a kid, like pretending I was a podcaster.
100%.
Oh, yeah, yes. Totally. Yeah, making your own radio station. That was my big thing as a kid.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wanted to be Christian Slater so badly.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, you and I.
Talk hard. I mean, like, pump up the volume is...
Pump up the volume.
It's our movie, Katie.
Mm-hmm. It is, 100%.
All right, yep. Katie, you're up next. What's your question?
Oh my goodness, I'm having too much fun that I'm not looking at the questions.
While you're looking for that, I want to talk a little quick about this. You mentioned, okay, dynamic microphone, right? Okay, but here's the thing. This is a condenser microphone.
You're right.
So why is this one so good? This is like my travel mic. Like when I go somewhere and like I have to do my show in a hotel room, I can plug this right into my computer and use this one, and it's fabulous. So how come this one is so good?
Because
it's a condenser microphone.
Because you can dial it in, you know, more than you can with a normal condenser. Like it's not first of all, it's a small diaphragm condenser, right. Not a large diaphragm condenser. And that makes it a little bit more less. Oh my gosh. Words. What are they? A little bit less surface area to contend with.
Right.
And the thing that we haven't really touched on yet with the MV88 Plus, which I'm riding the struggle bus to put it together whilst talking to all of you, is that you power it with your phone and you control it with your phone and you can change the polar pattern with the app. So that's why it's so great in terms of being able to control it and use it and have it not be as prone to noise, is because I can go in here. Okay. It's loading. I can go in here and I can select how I want the microphone to pick up. So
the pattern
in cardioid mode, that lets me actually dial it in and be much more directional as opposed to stereo mode, which would activate both of the capsules, because this is a stereo condenser mic. It's one of only two in the Shure product line, which I think is fascinating. So you could see that I have my left and my right capsules there. And when that's cool, though, is when you're out in the field and you put it into this one, the figure eight or mono bidirectional, because then you just set it up on the table and put it in between you and your interview subject, and it's going to capture you beautifully, equally, without having to do this mm-hmm. back and forth, you know, man on the street kind of action. So that's why, because you can disable some of the capsules and put it into monocardioid mode, you have a more focused sound.
Yeah. So that somebody asked, is that your travel mic? Yeah, that's my travel mic, because of the reasons, like you're at a conference or something, it's so versatile. Like she said, you can put it in and do interviews. You can go out and just capture audio in the, in the room. You can like interview people while you ask questions. You just want to pick up them. You can turn it back towards you and have like vlogging mode. I mean, this thing is for portability and travel. This is my go-to. And I think it is stinking amazing because of all that stuff that you can do with it.
Sorry.
It turned into, I didn't mean it to be, anyway, that's my travel mic. And so Paul is saying I need to bite the bullet and get the MV88.
Do it, Paul. Yeah.
Paul, yes.
And Kira says, love me some portable tiny tech. Yes, it is really cool. Like Kira and I were at Momentum Conference, and that's what I had when I was doing some stuff out in about. So yeah, Kira, it's really, really cool. All right. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I nerd out on that thing all the time.
This rolls us into then our next question on the talking through the different kinds of audio equipment by the different kinds of content that you're creating. So how do you approach which microphone you're using for, you know, mobile on the go interviews versus podcasts and live streams like this versus like music performances, business presentations. I know I saw in the comments as well, someone being like, is it okay now that we have our microphones in our shots?
Oh,
yeah.
What advice do you have for like what microphone for use case?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it depends on if you're going to be doing multiple applications. For example, I am on Teams calls all day, for sure, all day. And then I'm podcasting and then I'm recording, you know, so that's why I like something like the MV7, because it's super versatile for all three of those applications. But if you know that you're going to primarily be doing your content creation on the go, that's when you would go with something like an MV88 Plus, because it's going to be more versatile and you have that ability to control it. And if you know you're going to be stationary and in like the same spot every time, you know you want to make the investment, go with the SM7B, because I mean it's the best, it's just not the most portable of our microphones, you know, so that's kind of considerations there. Mm-hmm. If you are doing things with a digital SLR setup or maybe a Sony camera like what I have here, then you could go with a shotgun mic, but that's still not going to reach out and grab your sound. That gives you a focused sound powered and going into your camera. So that's the kind of advantage there. It's a lens hopper that we make as the VP83F. It's on the camera. It's in the form factor and it works with your workflow. But that's if you're going to be doing tripod-based shooting and you're only going to be about this far away, which is like 2 feet away. You don't really want to make it extend because shotgun mics are not magnifying glasses.
Right.
I always said that to people. Doc would be preaching it too. He has strong feelings.
So this is on that topic that Katie brought up. This is from Rainy Cajun says, are we in agreement that having a mic in the frame is finally acceptable? I've been doing it for, almost 20 years. Like I've always had a mic in my shot. I've never had anybody said, why do you have a mic in your shot? Nobody's ever asked that to me. So
I use this on PTO Zoom calls, yo. Like I am not afraid. Yeah. Okay. Get it in the shot.
Yeah.
I think that comes from, and I could be wrong, but I think a lot of that comes from the kind of Zoom keynote PowerPoint presentation folks who are trying to look more quote unquote professional and not as kind of podcastery as this tends to look. So I think it is interesting. I feel like it's becoming more and more accessible even for that group that people are like, oh, this person, you know, is showing up and looking more professional. Whereas maybe even, you know, a year or two ago, it was like, probably looked a little bit weird if someone was showing up to do a presentation and they were this close to the microphone or talking into a microphone. Mm.
Right.
Good point. Yeah. I think I really, I've never had somebody like, what is that on your face? Nobody's ever said that.
Yeah, there's like, I think why it's like an internal thought. I don't think anyone is like sitting there going like, oh, well, Jeff is clearly not presenting properly because he's got a microphone in front. Right. I think it's like an internal game that we play with ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. I mean, I get it with the YouTubers used to have those mics that were off shot, you know, off screen and shooting in and like, but you just get so much better sound. And if, once again, you know, I'm on the repurposing train all the time. Like you've got to repurpose your content. And having great audio lets you have so much more options that you can use it with. Like, in, anyway, so I'll stop there. But so this is a great question from Neil.
If I'm you laughing don't at want, Eden's comment. Well, yeah. Sorry. We'll get to you, Eden.
Yes. If you don't want to have a mic in the shot, what mic would you recommend?
Yeah, Neil, I saw your question too. And that's a great, that is a great one. You've got to go with a lavalier. I mean, honestly, microphones, just, you can't have a magical mic that reaches out and grabs your sound. It will not work. It's going to pick up the space. They are not selective in their hearing. So if you don't want it in your shot, getting something like a lavalier, which I normally have one tangled up in everything. And I only have a headworn right here. It's tiny. It's very inconspicuous. And if you have a clip lav on a clip on lavalier that just goes right here, you know, if I, especially on this black shirt, you wouldn't even see it. So that's the answer. You got to use a lav. I mean, you could get creative and have a shotgun mic that's out of shot, you know, cause they do use that for dialogue recording in film and TV. But why, you know, why do that to yourself when you could just have a have a little tiny lavalier that you're wearing.
That's also like really heavily, I feel like, again, to like the conversation about use case, those, that dialogue and what they're doing in like a movie or a television show is heavily edited, like whole crews of post-production teams. So, you know, if you are, again, like in the podcasting, presenting, live streaming group, you are never going to be that level, nor should you be that level of post-production. So it's, you're
right,
setting yourself up for way more work for no real benefit. It's a perceived, benefit.
Yeah.
Right.
So Deal Catcher says, the only rule is you cannot put a Blue Yeti in the shot.
The, no Blue Yetis in the shot.
The funny thing is I started, like, that was my first, it was the pro. Everybody, though. And, like, and I had, and I used it for a long time. So he's just being mean, but, if you have to go with what you got at the beginning, but we've talked about some reasonably priced microphones that you guys can use. I want to like take it from the very, very beginner, because somebody's just, okay, I just bought Ecamm. I want to do a podcast. What mic do I get, and how do I hook it up to Ecamm? Like, there's probably some people who don't know, like, okay, I bought Ecamm, but I don't know how to get it to my computer. So let's talk about some interfaces, and we'll start with you, Laura, and then we'll end up with Katie kind of talking about how to get it working with Ecamm.
Yeah. So if you use something like the MV7 that I'm talking into right now, it's a USB microphone. So it's acting as my interface. So it's taking acoustic energy, i.e. my mouth talking, and converting it into an electrical signal going into my computer. That's my setup right now. MV7 plugged into a MacBook Pro, set of headphones plugged into the back of my MV7. That's it. So that's one way of doing it. It's all encompassing, and it's like a really good price if you were to do everything all together, $249 plus the SE215s. I'm using the Aonic 5s because I'm fancy. But that could be a great starter kit. And if you want something that could also be multi-purpose, like if you're a singer and you want to have a mic that could go from stage to podcast, the SM58 is an incredible option for that. And then you would get an interface like this MVX2U,
right?
And you know, you plug that directly into your computer. This is your interface. I know it looks very small and unassuming, but it's a powerful tool. And an SM58, it looks like that, in case you're wondering. Cool. Although this is on an SLXD wireless transmitter, because this is what I had in front of me at the moment. What else can I pull from my bag of shit?
It looks just like the emoji. If you wanted to have
it does.
Emoji, I want the emoji mic. Yes, that's yes. Right. Sadly, there are people who will do that. Like, I want the emoji mic. Yes, so, okay, Katie. So we got the interface. We got the mics. How do we get it to work with Ecamm? Because if you want to have great stuff, you have to use Ecamm.
it literally just shows up. So you're welcome for all of that. It like, see, I have the same setup that Laura does. So I have my MP7 just literally plugged directly by USB into my computer, and it shows up as an audio source in Ecamm. So I just need to make sure that I go into my sound levels menu and just make sure that it says Shure MV7. If you're getting a little bit more complicated and you're connecting through through XLR and through a different interface, then you just need to make sure that in your drop down menu that you have the correct interface connected into Ecamm. But they automatically just come in. So I know that, like, for example, we have a number of people in our community who use the Rodecaster Pro, probably mostly for the shiny light up buttons. That's like, mm-hmm. you know, right. why most people like things for the light up buttons. But if that's coming in, then yeah, you would change over from your MV7 through to your Rodecaster Pro, so that then you're telling Ecamm that's where we're picking up the audio from. So it really is, it's plug and play. Anything right. that you connect in, whether it's a camera or a microphone, shows up in Ecamm, and you just have to make sure you've selected the right one.
And that's actually what I am using for this show, and I've been using it for years. And I have the original Rodecaster Pro, and I'm just taking in every, I have a, on my flow of my show, I have like, one of the steps is to change over to, you know, Rodecaster Pro on both the audio and the video, because I actually monitor out from my Rodecaster Pro as well.
So. And if you're monitoring, like, you will notice immediately, like, it's become a nonstop joke on our podcast that I do with my best friend, because she's got, like, still, I need to upgrade her microphone. She's got, like, the one of the tiny Shure microphones that I, like, used to adore because they were so cute.
Oh, the MV5.
Yeah. So she still has that one. We need to move up to a fun designed one. But the second that she joins in, she's not, you know, paying as much attention. And so it's picking up the audio from her headphones, like the little microphone in her headphones. And I'm like, oh no, bad. This is bad. We need to change over. Yeah. So it's immediately noticeable when you have the wrong connection selected when you're using a good quality microphone. So
yes. Oh my gosh, this has passed so fast and everyone's nerding out. And so you have, this is the final call for questions. So ask your questions, but I have one before we kind of go into the last question. So I want to know, and this is from Shannon, Shannon Hernandez, who helps me produce Guy Kawasaki's podcast. And he goes, ask her, like, how much did Joe Rogan using your SM7B change like the landscape for Shure? Did everybody want Joe Rogan's mic now? Is that how it kind of worked?
I mean, honestly, it's been kind of a perfect storm of people noticing that mic, but also the pandemic. Everyone turned inwards and got stuck in their house and started creating content and podcasting. And then they were Googling, you know, podcasting mics. And that one happened to be the most visible, because some people said, well, why didn't Shure come out with the SM7DB 10 years ago? Because there was no demand for the SM7DB, because it was still being used in studios and broadcast houses that had powerful enough interfaces to drive it. Mm-hmm. So when people are like, well, no, you missed it, Shure, it's like, well, you know, we're always innovating and making new things. And this was when the demand came. So did he help? I mean, I think probably, but it just kind of was a combination of things. Also with MV7 coming out in 2020, you know, that brought more visibility to this style of microphone based on the boom arm. And then people were like, well, what's the best? And finding out that SM7B was. And so, yeah, I don't know if that answered it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just an interesting thing that he wanted me to ask, and he helps me. So I have to, keep him happy. So Tacy says, is a lavalier Shure as well? Because I know she's probably looking for a lavalier to use. What would you recommend from Shure for that?
Yeah, so we have several lavalier options on Shure.com or Amazon. But if you go to Shure.com, you can kind of go through this thing where you choose what you want the microphone to do. It's like our mic finder. Mm-hmm. And it'll say, I want a microphone to capture my voice in my house for a podcast. And it'll spit out some really good options for you. But in terms of lavaliers, we have a few different lines. One of them is called Uniplex, which is really great for podcasting because it's a unidirectional mic. Traditionally, lavaliers are what's called omnidirectional, omni meaning all. So they pick up and hear like the human ear does. They hear everything. Whereas a unidirectional mic is more like this, where it's directionally focused on one source in one direction. So Uniplex is great. Duraplex, if you're going to be out in the field, Duraplex means durable. It's impervious to dust, dirt, water. It's IPX rated. That's a fancy term for just saying you can beat the snot out of it and things won't get into it that you don't want. So that's really good for that. And then the creme de la creme, the Twin Plex. And all of these plexes on there is in reference to the cable, which is super durable. And it's made from like medical grade cable that would go inside of your body. So it can't break.
So if you have an accident, you can suture your friend with your mic.
Right. You needed to. Not say that on okay. recording. Okay. No. I'm not saying it won't break ever, but it is much, much more durable. So all of those lavaliers I mentioned have that Plex technology built in. So depends on your budget, depends on your needs, but I would say Uniplex is a great place to start.
Very cool. Yeah, because Tacy said that she needed one for presenting and speaking events. So,
oh, great.
Yeah. So it's, you go Ed in there and do that finder and it will help you, Tacy, because I know they have those. Yeah, that's what I was going to.
Yeah, this is cool. The head worn, I know this looks kind of silly, but like it's so great. When I do perform my loop, and I've loved using this mic, it's kind of different because then I don't have to be anchored to a mic. I can be going wherever I want and look down at the looper and look back up. So for performance, for speaking, for theater, it's a great option.
Good mic. Awesome. So I'll let you have the final question because I have hogged
so much. All
right.
Well, this one might be a big one, but I feel like we can't finish off this episode without having Laura answer that one of the most common question we get from people who are getting into audio on the Ecamm side is, how do I avoid and or deal with echo, slapback, weird noises and audio issues that come up as I'm getting into my show or recording my podcast?
That's a good one. And I think we can actually, because Katie, I'm hearing a little bit of echo and slapback from your mic. I don't know if you're hearing it on my end, but we could do this in real life right now. So
all right, let's do it.
Can you put us in split screen? Oh, there we go. Okay. So I want you to tilt your microphone a little bit more off axis, just a bit.
Like up or down?
Side, like this.
Oh,
like
this. Okay. Way. Yep. All right.
Yeah. And I want you to get a little bit closer to it.
All right. Hang on. I'm in like the weirdest setup today.
You are. So you want to be as close as you can. There you go.
Hello, hello. Hello. Hello.
So now do you hear how she has lost all of the echo in her space? So keep talking.
Hello. I'm talking into my fancy, awesome new mic. I'm really into it for the color.
Now go back to where you were and do the same thing.
Well, I'll move my mic. Hello. Yeah. Hello. Hello, hello. Test, test.
So yeah. You can hear there's more space in her room, but as the closer she got to the mic while still staying off axis, got rid of the plosives and got rid of the room space. I mean, her room sounds great, so it's fine. But if anyone's like, what is that noise? Or what is that sound I'm hearing? Try getting closer to your mic. Try adding absorptive materials and make sure you're using a dynamic mic. Those are the three things.
I have my towel, my old ugly brown towel on my desk. I'm trying to be better in taking feedback, but I'm also like at home on my craft table and I've tried like moving my backgrounds around. So I'm
the mushroom wallpaper is rocking my world right now. I just have to say,
I know, except that I am having, so see if you're like, oh goodness, you know, I hate my background or I'm not, I've been playing with cameras and like common issues Ecamm people have been having. So I'm sacrificing myself a little bit. Like I didn't think, and I have this up in front of me, which is driving me crazy.
Nice.
And I'm using my built-in camera because I was playing with my phone camera and that like failed me and it was like causing a mic delay or something was weird happening. And then I was playing with like this other camera. So yeah, I'm thank you. I'm doing well on the audio side of it, but not so well on the video side. I'm playing around. I bump my thing and it shakes. I'm moaning.
Chris goes, live mic technique. Yes. He loves all this stuff. He is a super nerd. He is the resident super audio nerd here at Social Media's Live. But once again, we need to do part two because we could go on and talk a lot more about this. I think mic technique is super important and all the things that you've given us. But I want to let people know where they can find all about you, your music, which is fabulous over on Spot. It really is. I was like, I didn't know that. She didn't tell me that when I met her. So very, very good. So tell people where they can find you, your music, all the stuff that is all about you.
So you can find me at Laura Clapp Music. That's CLAPP, which you see right there. Or lauraclapp.com if you want to get into the music side. And Song 43 is my podcast. It's on all of the platforms. And I talk about how this creator creates while being a mom, working full time and doing all the things. So if you've ever wanted to know how songs come together while trying to do 4,000 things at once, you should listen to Song 43.
Yes. Very, very cool. So go and listen, find her channel on Spotify and put that in your playlist, because it's really, really good music. Katie, where can people find out more about you and your podcast? You mentioned your podcast a couple times. Tell people about that, where they can find you and all the stuff that is Katie Fox.
Oh, goodness. I always feel guilty promoting my personal.
No, do it.
So I am available, and you can find me through all things ECAM. That's ECAMM. I touch all of those things, so I'm easy to find on the ECAM side. If you like movies, especially ones that are from the 80s and 90s, then you can check us out at thevhsclubpod.com. We record live every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, and you can find our show on all places where podcasts happen.
Awesome. And by the way,
I gotta interject, Jeff, real quick.
Okay.
Shure.com is where you find all the information about these products that we've been talking about. YouTube, sign up and subscribe to the Shure Creators channel, which was thrown in the chat a few times. Thank you, Chris and Jim, to learn about how you do that with different products and different questions that you may have, and check out those promotions that are running through the end of December.
Yes. Awesome. Yes, awesome products. Great. Awesome company. Kira says, this has been so helpful. I learned so much, and Amazon wishlist is now longer. Yes. Yes. I feel your pain, Kira. By the way, I wanted to do a shout out to, ECAM. Once again, they're amazing for sponsoring the show. You can find out more about them at socialmedialive.com/ECAM. But we are doing a meetup right before podcast at the Disney parks. I think we're going to do it at Hollywood Studios. I'm going to be there with my friend Paul Gowder, who's been on the show before, but ECAM is going to be there with us. So it's the day before PodFest. I believe it's that Wednesday. I think the 24th. But it's free. Come hang out with us. We're going to be riding the rides. We're going to be eating all the food. We're going to be talking about podcasting and all the other stuff. But it's free to come and just hang out with us. Go to jeffc.com/podfest meetup. Katie's going to be there, and she's never been on there. She's never ridden Ride of the Resistance. So it's going to be awesome.
I am really fun on rides, you guys. So you need to
come. I can totally imagine. Yes.
Best ride ever.
And Tower of Terror, all the stuff, all the new things. It's going to be fun. So come join us. If you're going to PodFest, come a day earlier and join us there, because I'm telling you, it is going to be a blast. So jeffc.com/PodFest meetup. And with that, folks, thank you guys so much for joining us. We will see you guys next time. And with that, see you guys later. Bye now.
Bye.
Social Media News Live.